Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Robin Hilton from NPR Music. I am here with Ann Powers. Hey, Ann.
Hello, Robin.
WBGO's Nicole Sweeney.
Hey there, Robin.
And from Radio Milwaukee, Tariq Moody.
Howdy, Robin.
It's March 24th, New Music Friday, and we've got a bunch of new albums out today that we want to flag for you, starting with the rapper and singer Black. He's back with his first new album in 5 years. It's called Since I Have a Lover. This is the song Inwood Hill Park.
Monday's starting to feel like Friday, blending up the days in a week. Nothing like I was when I met you, back when I belonged to the streets. That pussy is elite, plus the rain is gone, I can finally see. I've been thinking about getting on one knee, turn a solo to a feat and make your heart skip a beat. Can't you see that I've been hostile for weeks? Don't you know you changed the patterns of my sleep? Ain't gon' say it's defeat, I'ma say it's a win. I'ma love you for free, they gon' think it's pretend. They don't know that you were there when I had more ideas than I had dollars. Now I say I'm proud with Sinead and Prada. I look around, the pool is all dried up. These bitches only tryna fuck the vibe up. Days that I'm under pressure, embracing the highs and lows. It's hard but I keep it alive, never been one to let go. Nights might keep me uncut in life, ain't no walk in the park, but you know. Just leaping in love on a walk with your baby.
Black is out of Atlanta, my hometown, but he's from Zone 6, which for the not familiar, Zone 6 represents east side of Atlanta. And that term's been used by artists like Childish Gambino, Future, 21 Savage, and most famously a fellow Zone 6 resident, Gucci Mane. This album, Since I Have a Lover, is a album featuring a lot of different themes, from complications of relationships, dealing with self-reflection, mental health. But what I really liked about it album, it really showcased that Black men are just as complex as any other group in this country. You know, our society looks at Black men as a homogenous stereotype. It really shows the vulnerability and a sensitivity. It also featured his partner, Quinn, throughout this album. It kicks off with Cold Feet, which sounds like a soundtrack, a song from the soundtrack to A Season of Atlanta.
Six-piece EP was high.
Has these surreal cinematic vibes. A lot of the album deals with dealing relationships and being honest with himself and his partner. In Black culture, especially Black men, we don't normally talk about our feelings, and he's actually sharing that this has helped me.
I'm so glad I got a chance to listen to this album. I mean, for those of you that are getting to know me, I love live instrumentation. I felt the guitars, the drums. I felt the stories.
I think I'm gonna try to lay on the day. I don't get hype up, but life been a long week. I had to put the gram away. Focus on the shit that matter, go get a bag, bring it back for your family's sake. No more stressing, I know the method, and I'm down to spread the word until my family's straight.
I felt the words, like this gentleman had something to say about life that I could relate to. So out of all of the albums that we really got a chance to review, this happened to be one of my favorites. Like, I can't wait to, you know, have a cocktail and dim the lights and really dive further into this album. So Black, you got a new fan in me for sure. And I think for many other people, that's going to happen with this album.
I fell down the rabbit hole with this artist after hearing this record, Tariq. I have to admit, I had only heard Black glancingly before, but wow, his whole discography is really, it's as deep and complex as this album. It's also cinematic. I mean, it's not an accident that two tracks, Fatal Attraction and Spirited Away, are named after movies, you know?
Yeah.
There are these little captured moments across the record that I love, where you get to kind of eavesdrop on different conversations, like on the song Chasing Feeling.
I'm really grateful that I've made the conscious decision to
do the harder thing and do the more uncomfortable thing in order to understand my purpose here. And I just pray for that to be the formula to my life when things get hard.
Moments like this that just give the whole mix so much life and color and intimacy in just these really wonderful ways. The rapper and singer Black has first new album in 5 years. It's called Since I Have a Lover. That's out now on March 24th, along with a new one today from Lana Del Rey. Her album, Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard, is finally here. This is the song Peppers.
Hands on your knees, I'm Angelina Jolie. Hands on your knees. To yourself, skinny dip in my mind. I'm in love. I'm in love.
Well, Robin, you picked an interesting track to kind of capture the essence of this album.
I don't know how you pick one track and pick the essence of this album, but I thought we could start there.
Yeah, well, this is definitely one of the more upbeat hip-hop based songs on the album. So here's the thing about Lana Del Rey. I'm going to use my favorite cliche. I've decided this is my favorite cliche of the 2020s. She is a world builder.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed.
And there aren't that many people working in mainstream pop right now who do this thing of like truly building worlds, creating environments, populating them with characters, constructing narratives that connect to each other and echo back upon each other. And I find myself wanting to make some pretty grand comparisons with this record, Robin. Like, Bruce Springsteen is a huge Lana Del Rey fan. He's declared his love for her. And I think with this record, she might attain Springsteen status. And I'm also going to say, I compare everything to Joni Mitchell. You know, I'm the biggest Joni Mitchell stan of all time. But this album particularly fits on Lana Del Rey's trajectory the way that Hajira fit on Joni Mitchell's trajectory, in that it's like a mid-career album. It's very observational, but also very personal. Every song, there's a lot of stuff about family, about, you know, her desires in her 30s. So I think she earns those comparisons with this record. I really do.
Can't get it out of my head. Put your hands on your knees. I feel like I just want to kind of dance around the house to that one. So it's really nice. When you said ninth album too, I was like, wait a minute, really?
She did nine? She did two in one year. So that's one reason.
But like you said, honesty. And I think that's so important, especially coming from the past couple of years that we've come from in this world. Honesty in music is so, I feel like I'm hearing way more of it just coming through lyrics, and even the music is what these artists want it to be. Not necessarily what we want it to be.
Lana Del Rey does not listen to others. But she does
well,
but she
too.
Does collaborate well with others. She does play well with others. And one interesting thing about this album is there are quite a few features and collaborators. John Batiste plays on this record, and also not only on the song Candy Necklace, but there's an interlude that's just him playing with some sort of a cacophony of voices over his playing. Father John Misty, she's sung with him before. They have a great duet. Jack Antonoff's group Bleachers is featured on the song Margaret, which is about Antonoff's fiance, Margaret Qualley.
The answer is no. Get around,
So So this is Lana with her trusted crew, going to sometimes really dark places, but also really tender places, often in the same song.
I am hearing a lot of classic struggles between good and evil across this album. There's a lot of religious overtones. You take a track like Judas Smith Interlude.
This is going to sound crazy to you, but I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. It's going to make me sound so spiritual, so I'm looking forward to it. Woke up this morning, God said, check the Bible out. I don't know if it was God, but it felt like God. And I had the thought in my head, check the Bible out. I'm going to speak to you from the verse of the day. That means I don't have to go, I don't have to look anywhere. I just get the verse of the day. So I get to the verse of the day, and here's the verse.
She is giggling throughout this sermon. And it's kind of creepy, but it's more like the dismissive, defiant take that you would get from someone who's been hurt, whose innocence was stolen, whose joy was taken from her. And she knows that no one, not even God, is going to save her. But there's also this power in it. And I don't know. I feel like this record, my God, we could go so long on this album, right? I mean,
it's true.
It's one of those records you hear, and every time you listen to it, you think of something different and discover something different and reflect on something new every time. But yeah, that world building for sure, and also really blurred lines between what is real and what is not real, and what is just coming out of her own dreamscapes.
Jimmy, Jimmy, Cocoa, Jimmy, Jimmy, ride. Jimmy, Jimmy, Cocoa, Jimmy, give me high. Love me if you love enough, you can be my light. Jimmy, only love me when you wanna get high. Jimmy, only love me when you wanna get high.
I mean, that's the thing I love about Lana Del Rey, too, is that she goes to those archetypal places you're talking about. And she also has this way of being personal in a mundane way, with just like little details from her life, you know, name dropping places she likes to go, or even talking about her musical process. Like, she has a song on this record where she says something about, you know, that point in a Harry Nilsson song, I think it's at 2:06 where his voice catches. Like, she's, not only does she mention the song and evoke the song, but she mentions the timestamp at the point that she wants you to think about the song.
Right.
And it's that level of sort of meticulous detail in the midst of this dreamy construction.
I'll just add that she is an artist who always finds euphoria in our most broken moments. And she can bring this euphoria out and give it a voice like no one else. And I so love that in her and her work. I think she's, I mean, honestly, one of our greatest songwriters right now making art. Lana Del Rey back with the long-awaited full-length Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard. Also out today is a new EP from the singer Yaya Bey. It's called Exodus the North Star. This is the song When Saturn Returns.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Whatever you have for me, I'll take it gladly. You ain't ever play about me. You ain't ever play about me. One, two, three, four.
Yaya Bey, I feel like this album is for all the people out there that are always saying that R&B is dead. There's no more good R&B. Well, it certainly is out there. And this is what I'm feeling from Yaya Bey, but also a bit of hip hop, which is interesting because her dad was Granddaddy IU, something new from Granddaddy IU. So her growing up really was just about music, Donny Hathaway. And from what I understand, her dad used to leave like spaces for her to write her own lyrics and her own lines into his music. So this is someone who's been around great music all her life, but you can feel it. And I love when Saturn returns. It's a bit of a slow jam. Who remembers slow jams, right? We used to make tapes full of slow jams. Add this one to my 2023 slow jam tape. But I have to say that Exodus, the North Star, I love the little reggae flow.
Baby, 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 you've been on my mind for days, and I want you to know that I've come a long way. You see, you fell my way where the love is free, and baby, you'd be so proud of me, won't you see?
The thing about this album is that Yaya Bey adds so many different elements to it. It's hard to put it into a particular genre. I know I mentioned R&B, but it's almost as if she's creating somewhat of her own genre, which I think is happening a lot, again, in music today.
Going back to when Saturn Returns, it's that soul vibe and those organ stabs. I'm such a sucker for organs and road keys. But the first two tracks is kind of celebrates not only reggae, but the lovers rock vibe.
Yes.
You know, which lovers rock became really popular in England. And I was doing some research on lovers rock. Remember Karen Wheeler's Soul to Soul?
Absolutely.
She was in a lovers rock band before she started Soul to Soul. I had no idea. But that lovers rock vibe, it's just, I love that vibe. I mean, plus it's still cold here in March. And I was just like, I need this right now. Because everywhere is warm. But here.
No. It was 21 degrees in Nashville the other day. You're not alone. You're not
21
alone.
21 degrees in the day or at night?
At night, but it's still cold during the day.
That's 21 degrees during the day here.
Honey, I got a dog. I'm out there in the mornings.
But that's a good point. She felt warm and inviting and made you want to even turn on the fireplace and snuggle up a little bit, drink a sip of sip something warm, maybe something red. But definitely her vocals, sometimes not always perfect, but I love that. There's something about music that doesn't have to be perfect. The imperfections that are so perfect and right on time. I found little bits of that throughout this album with Yaya Bey.
Yeah, this feels like a mostly breezy coda to the full length that she had out last spring. You know, like if that album was about pain and desire and heartache, this is her follow-up that's sort of saying, you know, I'm doing just fine.
Yes.
You know, and she's clearly letting everything go. Yaya Bey, her new EP out today is called Exodus, the North Star. We do have several other releases that we want to highlight for you this week, including new ones from Depeche Mode and Lancome. But first, we need to take a short break.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
Instead of scrolling mindlessly, engage mindfully with the NPR app. With a mix of on-demand news, stories from this station, and your favorite podcast, you can relax without shutting off your brain. Download the NPR app today.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. 6 big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
It's New Music Friday from NPR. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Ann Powers, Nicole Sweeney, and Tariq Moody, and we're looking at the best releases out now on March 24th, including a new one from the Irish folk band Lancome. It's called False Lancome. This is the song Clear Away in the Morning.
Take me back on the bay.
Well, not all of our listeners may think they like Irish traditional folk music. But if you saw the Banshees of Inisherin, do I have a record for you? No, I'm just kidding.
Or any A24, creepy A24 movie, honestly. I thought this band needs to score an A24 horror film.
Oh, totally. I think, you know, being into Irish traditional folk music, it's a particular subculture for sure. But anyway, if you think you might want to learn something about Irish traditional folk music, don't start with Lancome. But what Lancome does goes beyond any categories of traditional. I mean, they have really revolutionized the approach to this music. They've been together quite a long time. This is their fourth album, but I think it's their most welcoming. The earlier albums really doubled down on what you hear on some of the tracks here, which is like a heavy drone, you know, almost people compare the sound almost to black metal.
I'm reminded of the band Low a lot.
Yeah.
You know, music that is powered by these deep drones, very economic melodies, and lots of reflections on death and dying and the afterlife. I grew up in rural Kansas, and, you know, I was talking with a close friend recently who also grew up in rural Kansas, and we were talking about how, you know, we were taught quite literally and very explicitly that life is terrible. You know, it is nothing but hard work and drudgery and suffering, and that you should work hard, expect nothing, and that your reward in life lies beyond this plane. You know, and that felt to me like an important thread that ran throughout this music. You know, even on tracks that I would call more hopeful, like Clear Away the Morning or On a Monday Morning, it felt like those beliefs, those values were never far away in this music.
I'm laughing because, you know, I have two Irish American parents, my late parents, and my dad always would say to me, you know, Anne, I always expect the worst, and that way I'm never disappointed.
My dad told me, just, you'll be a lot happier if you give up hope.
Exactly. It's like the Irish fatalism. But at the same time, there is this sense of life and hope, and the hope is in the telling of the story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The survival is in the telling of the story. So on a song like Lordabore and Mary Flynn on this record, which is one that I love.
Lordabore and Mary Flynn, were both children young. They were scarcely 14 years of age.
It's a kind of a Rose and the Briar story. So it's two young lovers. One dies, the other like basically jumps in their grave. Not a happy story, but the fact that the story is being told. And so even though it's the darkest story, the telling of it rejuvenates it. And that's a lot of what Lancome is about, I think. How do we rejuvenate this music over and over again?
Lancome, the band's new album is False Lancome. Also out today is a new one from the veteran rock band Depeche Mode. They're back with their first new album in 6 years. It's called Memento Mori. This is the song My Cosmos Is Mine.
Depeche Mode, those two words bring back some crazy nostalgia for me. I think of all my favorite 80s movies and 16 Candles and Back to the Future, and they're back really with that nostalgic vibe. I think that people do expect when they hear from Depeche Mode, a little dark, if you would. I know we've been mentioning dark, but I have to mention one of my absolute favorites, Always You. Just brought back those memories of, I mean, The Cure, Human League. When you think of those groups and you think of British pop, you feel good with this particular album. People Are Good is another one of my favorites because it's a question that you want to kind of ask yourself. Are people good?
Keep telling myself, are people
and they kind of answer it that, you know, you keep fooling yourself thinking that you are. So once again, there's honesty. That
Nicole,
makes sense.
People are people. So why?
Yeah, I was just thinking that wherever you go.
Sorry, I had to quote that Depeche.
Depeche Mode was the soundtrack of my late high school, early college years, mainly because of the darkness. There's no shiny pop vibes that I know Robin loves so much. But like My Favorite Stranger is like, it is my theme song since I was such a weird goth pseudo. I don't know if I was a, I didn't dress like goth, but I had a mental state of goth. My Favorite Stranger stands in my mirror, puts words in my mouth. It's kind of two sides of a coin. The dark sense, distorted the guitars, repetitive bass line. The bass feels like the light reflection of the dark, distorted guitars. It's kind of, sonically, it's kind of symbolic of the theme of that song.
So many people go through this period where you do look in the mirror and sometimes you're like, who is this person? You know, you're shedding layers of yourself. You're adding to it. Again, another honest song about just even recognizing and loving these pieces and parts of yourself that you didn't recognize.
There's two important developments that affected this record. One, Andy Fletcher's death. So Andy Fletcher, interesting position in the band. He was a member of the band, but didn't actually play in the band. He's sort of like the organizing spirit of the band. He passed. Also important, so my band, a la Depeche Mode, as a young person, was Psychedelic Furs. I was obsessed with the Psychedelic Furs. Richard Butler was like my dream man. Richard Butler co-wrote four songs on this record. So I'm getting a little psychedelic first vibe from it too. It's really cool. Martin Gore doesn't normally write with people, but he and Richard paired up, and I think that gives a little... You're absolutely right, both of you. It doesn't sound radically different, but there is this infusion, and I wonder if it partly comes from that collaboration.
Depeche Mode back with their first new album in 6 years. It's called Memento Mori. It is a packed release week. So I was thinking maybe we could all do a couple of quick picks for our lightning round on this week's show. Tariq, we'll start with you.
My first lightning round pick is Benny Singh's new album, Young Hearts.
We could take a walk on Cabana Beach. Read a book or two about the birds in Cali. We could see a movie about São Paulo. Have you seen the new documentary?
He is a Dutch singer-songwriter that conjures up the 70s vibe of soul R&B. Well, of artists like Steely Dan, Hall & Oates, and Michael McDonald, but it's for the 21st century. One of my highlights of this album is Pajamas, featuring the very talented Remy Wolf, which has this bossa nova vibe. My second pick is Kelly, best known as the frontman of Bloc Party, and his new album, The Flames Part 2.
There's a man on the corner standing by the ATM. He needs a tenant to get home, but I don't believe him. He's got bloodshot eyes and whiskey on his breath. There's a woman at the skate park with no shoes on. She's drinking white lightning and talking to herself. She's got sparrows in her hair and skaters in her bed. She has for me a message. True love knows no death.
This is the sixth studio album to follow up to 2021's The Waves Part 1, which was written and recorded during lockdown. It features Kelly's signature voice paired with experimental sounds, distorted guitars, and unique melodies, which I truly, truly love.
Nicole.
My first lightning round pick is Lamar, Page in My Heart. And this album is for the artists who have been fans and have supported Lamar for so long. He's wanting to take us back to his dedicated album, which came out about 20 years ago. So this is for all of us that really enjoyed that music. It's almost like a thank you letter to all of the fans and the supporters and why he's even able to, you know, he's been away from music for a little bit, but now he's back and this is going to be an exciting album for not only just the fans that have been with them since dedicated, but new fans that haven't really gotten a chance to dive into him as well. And for my second pick, it's Sophie B. Hawkins.
How did I find you here?
I mean, look, I'm still excited about Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover. It's still the jam. So I'm so excited for Free Myself, which just seems like another chapter in Sophie B. Hawkins. She's going to give you honesty. She's going to give you her life, you know, almost just words from her own diary that'll really become words for your own. So Sophie B. Hawkins, my second lightning round pick.
And
my first lightning round pick is one of my most anticipated albums of the year. It's called Love in Exile, and it brings together the singer Aruj Aftab, the jazz pianist Vijay Iyer, and the synth master Shahzad Ismaili. These three have been playing together since 2018 and working toward this album, and they've produced this exquisite, just beautiful, meditative, expansive, I can't throw in enough hyperbolic words to describe this journey of this album.
We're going to have a conversation with Aruj Aftab, Vijay Iyer, and Shahzad Ismaili about the Love in Exile record coming up in a future episode in this podcast.
My second pick is completely different. It's by Caroline Rose, a singer, songwriter, rocker who I've admired for a long time. It's called The Art of Forgetting. I have loved, and NPR has loved, this songwriter and rocker for quite a while. Their previous releases were very high concept, often funny, hilarious, and that's why we all fell in love with them. This album makes a shift into emotionally riskier territory, I think, and also they've really found their pop sound. It's a subtle and substantive record that also gives you plenty of hooks and stuff to enjoy.
All right, for mine, I first have to note that there is a massive box set out today for Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon to celebrate the album's 50th anniversary. I nearly threw my back out picking this thing up when it arrived in the mail. It has so many discs, multiple discs, vinyl. There's a big hardback book of gorgeous photos in it from the recording sessions and other, you know, sort of intimate moments of the band around that time. There's even a written score for the album so that you can play the whole thing on piano or whatever instrument you want. There aren't many albums that can compare to this one in terms of its reach and influence over the decades. Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, 50th Anniversary Edition, out now. For my second pick, I really wanted to play something from the new Fall Out Boy album. It's called So Much for Stardust. But I will just say for now that rock is not dead, and we'll drop a track from it in our Spotify and Apple playlists for you to hear there. But I can't let the week go without mentioning the new EP from Rosalía and Rao Alejandro. It's called RR. Mi pistola no tiene seguro, se dispara sola. Es de Barcelona, pero está en Carola. Ya no es seguidora, ella es la ola. So we weren't able to hear the full thing in time to talk about it on the show, but this is definitely one of the biggest releases of the week, and one that we really only just learned about last week. They've worked together in the past, but this is their first joint project since they announced that they're a couple, so diehard fans are absolutely over the moon for it. The three-song EP RR from Rosalía and Rao Alejandro, out now on March 24th. And that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. My thanks to Ann Powers, Nicole Sweeney, and Tariq Moody. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Remember to check out the description of this episode in your podcast feed to see a list of everything that we played and talked about on the show. And you can hear full versions of the songs we featured in our expanded New Music Friday playlists in Apple Music or Spotify. Just open those apps and search for NPR Music. Stay in touch and keep up with the latest from NPR Music with our weekly newsletter. You can sign up for it at npr.org/music-newsletter. And for NPR Music and All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton. I hope you have a great weekend. Be well and treat yourself to lots of music.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
From the campaigns to the conventions, from now through Election Day and beyond, the NPR Politics Podcast has you covered. As Joe Biden and Donald Trump square off again, we bring you the latest news from the trail and dive deep into each candidate's goals for a second term. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast every weekday. Every weekday, NPR's best political reporters come to you on the NPR Politics Podcast to explain the big news coming out of Washington, the campaign trail, and beyond. We don't just want to tell you what happened, we tell you why it matters. Join the NPR Politics Podcast every single afternoon to understand the world through political eyes.